This morning we did Matthew 5, 21 to 26. So if you can have Matthew 5, 27 to 30 open. A brief review of the context. I know we went into depth this morning, but there's people here tonight that weren't here this morning. At the end of Matthew 4, verse 23 onwards, Jesus walks up a mountain. He does this to separate those who are simply hanging around him to receive his many miracles and to be wowed and amazed by him from those who are willing to leave their old lives behind to pick up their crosses and follow him. He called these people the blessed Christians. Disciples. And Jesus gave them this revolutionary message, a message so powerful you can argue it shaped the Western world, the Sermon on the Mount. And as we discussed this morning, Jesus begins this sermon by defining the expressions of the Christian faith, which you have in the Beatitudes, verses 3 onwards. Blessed are the poor in spirit, etc. Then he gives us our charge as Christians to go and be salt and light. God calls us to be a holy people. Verse 20 of chapter 5. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus then expounds this point with the analogy of murder in verses 21 to 26. And you'll remember from this morning's message, he makes a stand against the oversimplification of God's law. He is saying here that we must not think we are right with God simply because we have not murdered someone. God has higher standards. Hallelujah. Now in today's message, we have essentially the same thing. But this time he uses the analogy of adultery. Let's read it again together so it's fresh in our minds. Verse 27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Now, I'm not going to stand here this evening and rant at you all about the wrongs of adultery or murder. Simply because that's not the thrust of Jesus' message here. What Jesus is doing here is using the examples of murder and adultery to teach us two things. The first thing that we discussed this morning is that we're not to undermine or trivialise God's law into its simplest physical form because God's standards are higher. We've got that now, haven't we? And two, tonight's teaching is that we are not to undermine the depth of our sin caused by our breaking of the law. Okay? That's what we're going to look at this evening. Jesus is using the laws against murder and adultery here to explain these two points because he knows that these particular two laws, murder and adultery, hate and lust, sit at the core, the very core of
each one of us here today. Everyone. Every human being alive today is guilty of breaking both of these things. Every one of us, me included. We've all lusted, haven't we? I have. We've all hated. There's not many nodding heads. You're evangelicals. We have, haven't we? We are all guilty. And Jesus knows that before a holy God, these deep-seated sins that we are all guilty of, each one of us, will only lead to our own destruction in this life, but also to destruction in the next, to eternal judgment. Jesus then is warning us here in these verses. He is saying to us all that simply from withholding of the physical acts of murder or the physical act of adultery, it does not free you from sin. Because sin runs deeper. Sin is a spiritual issue, isn't it? It is at our core, and as a result, it cannot be subdued or restrained by our own efforts. We cannot do anything to stop it. Jesus is saying here in this reading that our sin runs so deep that the only way we can even begin to do anything about it would be to pull out our own eyes and rip off our limbs. That's how destructive sin is in all its various shapes and sizes. Sin ruins lives. That's what Jesus is saying. That's a fact. Whether you believe in God or not, do you not find it absolutely astonishing? It's an amazing coincidence that everything that we have ever done wrong in our life, everything that we've ever felt guilty of or anxious about, has occurred when we've broken one of the laws from his book. It's incredible that, isn't it? And that's what sin is, breaking a law of God. Is it not a startling coincidence that in a world that defies God and his guide to good living, is a world outside full of such vileness, full of such hate and injustice and deceit? What a coincidence. Friends, sin is real. It's a real thing. It is true. And the consequences of it are on the news every night. Turn it on if you don't believe me. Look what sin does to the world. Sin is destructive. It ruins lives. It ruins families. It runs so deep in every human being that to rid ourselves of it, we literally have to pull ourselves apart. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus says here that if you want to get rid of your sin, you must rip off your hand. Verse 30, it's there. You must rip off your hands. Your hands that God gave you to plant and to build and to write poetry and to paint and to sculpture and to hug loved ones and caress little babies and nurse the sick. These are beautiful implements. But because of our sin, what do we use them for? What do we use these gifts of God for? To wag our fingers in judgment at people. We build weapons of mass destruction with them. We use our hands to argue with people on social media. We use them to inject drugs into ourselves and to pleasure ourselves in other vile ways. What are we like? Or Jesus says, verse 29, to get rid of sin in your life, you've got to rip out your eyes. Our eyes. our beautiful eyes that God has given us to look over his marvellous creation and be in awe. Our eyes that God gave us to watch our children play and smash eggs on their head. Eyes to read his glorious word that causes our hearts to rejoice. But because of our deep-seated sin, instead of doing this, what do? We watch pornography. We look down on homeless people as we walk past them. We're disgusting, aren't we? Jesus is reminding us here in this reading that sin perverts us to our very core. And God abhors sin because it turns the very things that he has given us to glorify him into weapons that destroy others and destroy our own souls. That's how daft we all are. Jesus is teaching us here that sin is so much part of our human nature that to come to God in our own strength, we would have to rip ourselves apart. No one can see God and live. Jesus is using here, in Matthew 5:21 and Matthew 5:27, he is using murder and adultery here to remind us that before a holy God, every one of us have sinned and fall short. Because we are all guilty of the same thing. None of us are righteous. No, not one. He is reminding us this evening that our sin runs so deep that there is nothing that we can do in our own strength to put us right with God. Nothing. And live. You hear it said, I said it this morning as an example. I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. I've done some lovely things and I haven't murdered anyone. What does Jesus say? Nonsense. That's what he says. Nonsense. You have murdered with your heart. You have hated someone. I'm going to heaven. I'm a good person. I've remained faithful. What does Jesus say in verse 28? He says, nonsense. None of you have. You have all committed adultery with your heart. You are all guilty of lust. Now, I know that this is incredibly hard to hear, and I know that this may offend some, if not all of you. But these are the words of God. And deep down, you all know they're true. That's why it hurts to hear. I know that hearing someone calling you a sinner is harsh and it is offensive. And please remember, I'm preaching to myself here as well. I'm technically sat where you are. I stand before you under the same word. I'm in the same pain. And I ache because I know the utter hypocrisy in me telling you this. The truth is, we all feel uncomfortable hearing about sin, don't we? And that is why we all feel so dirty after we sin, because sin is a reality. Turn the news on, you'll see it. Even the atheist feels shame. Even the atheist feels guilt because sin is real. Jesus is telling us this evening that sin affects us all and it cuts us deep and we cannot ignore it. Why? Because it is literally killing us. The wages of sin is death. So we all gather with the same problem. So what can we do about it? Well, sadly, nothing. Absolutely nothing. We are powerless, unless if you want to rip off your own limbs. We're powerless. But, thank God for the but, there is good news. Turn with me back to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Oh, I could cry reading these words. Ephesians 2, 1175 in the Pew Bibles if you've got one. Listen carefully. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out our desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But, yes, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Praise God. Verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift. A gift from God. Hallelujah. The good news is that although each one of us are all guilty of murder, and we're all guilty of adultery in the eyes of God, although we all fall short of God's perfect standard and thus are separated from him as a result, the good news is that God himself has made a way back. He has made a way back for each of us in his Son, Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. What a saviour. Being made in the likeness of sinful flesh, he humbled himself for you. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that the best news you can hear? For you, God himself became an embryo in a virgin's womb. For you, God himself was born in abject poverty in a shack in Palestine. For you, God spent his first night on earth in an animal feeding trough, a manger. For you, he lived a life of sorrow. He was bullied, he was despised, and he was rejected. For you, he was tempted in every way that we are, but he did not sin. And for you, those perfect hands of his, those perfect hands that healed the sick, that lifted the poor, they were pierced. For you, those eyes of his, those perfect eyes of his, that wept with compassion for your soul, they became filled with blood that dripped down from the crown of thorns pushed into his skull. For you, the perfect Son of God, went to the cross, and he took on himself in full the punishment that we all deserve for our sins. And in this act of unrivaled love, Jesus took on himself all of your guilt, all of your shame, all of your fear, all of your doubts, all of your anxieties. And in his death, he buried them. They're gone. As Jesus cried, "It is finished," at that moment, justice was done. And your sin was gone. As far as the east is from the west, I see your sin no more. And until he returns for his people, the good news is that the power of the cross can still save you from those sins today. Isn't that amazing? Happened to me 10 years ago. Praise God. So whatever burdens you carry, whatever anxiety, whatever temptation you face, whatever sin you bear, Jesus says to you tonight through his word preached, give it to me. Give it. Give it to me. I am the eternal Son of God. I can take it. And I can deal with it. On the cross, I will kill your sin in my death and I will bury it. So it's gone. And in faith of my resurrection, I will freely give you, right now, a new life. A fresh start. A clean slate before God and a fresh start in his church. A whole community of people that will love you, whatever you've done. Isn't that amazing? Better than the Xbox, isn't it? Better than the pubs and the clubs. The good news is that Jesus has made a way for every one of us today to live, regardless of what we've done. And he's made that way through the cross. He has made a way for you to come to God as you are, warts and all, without having to rip your eyes out and rip your hands off. In Christ, you can come to God and know his grace. In Christ, you can come to God and know his forgiveness. In Christ, you can come to God and know his mercy and love. And this night, you can have his peace. You can have this all tonight if you just accept Jesus. Sin cuts deep. We are all guilty before a holy God. But in Christ, we can know the joy of heaven today. And we can have utter, utter freedom from the burden of our failures. That's the good news. That's the gospel, isn't it? That they're gone. The good news that changes life. And it still transforms people today. I've seen it with my own eyes. So Christians here tonight, let's not hide the gospel. Don't hide it from anyone. I don't care who you are, it's good news for you. Go out and live it. Go out and be salt and light. Because it is so precious, is it not? And God has trusted each one of you this evening with it. I'm going to close with some direct questions. After a cough. If either of today's messages has caused you to feel convicted, if you have felt lost or angry, if I have challenged you or agitated you in any way, if you have sat there whilst I've preached and you have felt like that you were the only person in the room, that I knew all of your secrets as I was speaking, then please know this is God the Holy Spirit at work. Because I have no idea what you do behind closed doors. Nothing that I have said this morning or this evening is personal. I love you all. It is God who has made it personal. Why? Because he is a personal God and he wants you to meet your personal Saviour. Every one of us here today, I don't care how old you are or how young you are, we are all battling with the same sins, me included. And we have all come here to meet the same Saviour, Jesus. He's amazing. The message is, whatever you're going through, whatever pain or trial or burdens, you're not alone. We are all here carrying the same things, aren't we? So if today's message has caused a reaction in you, good or bad, leave these doors rejoicing. Because your reaction testifies that God is at work. Spurgeon said, the same sun that melts wax hardens clay. Well, you've had some sun. And if you have any questions, simply want to talk it through, I'll be stood at the back. I've got a hard chin. Thanks for having me. Amen.